Hey guys, welcome back to Reality TV. I'm looking at my notes right now, and I hate to say it, but I think this is just going to be a very short, brief episode, mainly because I'm not watching Married at First Sight anymore. I just can't do it. If you are into Married at First Sight, make sure you check out Kara Berry's podcast, Everyone's Business But Mine. She's my go-to source for Married at First Sight these days because she's hanging in there. She's still watching it. She hates Chris as much as all of us do. She definitely gets exactly what needs to be gotten in this show. So that means I am going to be talking about 90 Day Fiancé and Sister Wives. But, I mean, these two shows in and of themselves are kind of boring. They're dragging. Now, Sister Wives, oh no, I take that back. 90 Day Fiancé is going to be wrapping up. I don't know what their schedule for the tell-all is going to be like because we do know that they recorded a tell-all. There's an episode next week that's called And Then Comes Marriage or something like that. And that is going to be at least 60 minutes of a finale episode. What seems to be the unknown factor, according to my research that I just did, is if that second hour of the show is going to be tell-all part one, and then we'll get an additional hour or two episode the following week, because there is still a time slot for a two-hour episode on, what would that be, April 11th. So I guess we'll just have to keep our eyes and ears open for that. Now, Sister Wives, I would watch the Sister Wives paint on a wall and see it dry. There's nothing that bores me about this show, even though it is super boring, if that makes any sort of sense. Mainly because our Facebook group, Reality TV Orchard of Snark, is so good at appreciating the je ne sais quoi of the Sister Wives. There is just something about this show that even when it's so boring, there are little moments of inside jokes or moments of super cringe, typical Mary stuff that makes the entire 60 minutes worth it. So if you are not part of our Facebook group, get your ass in there. Just search Orchard of Snark. And to answer the question, if you haven't been listening that long, why is it called Reality TV Orchard of Snark? Way back when, Evelyn Cormier of the Evelyn Cormier Band on a season of 90 Day Fiancé way back when, used to brag about her stupid Claremont, New Hampshire, wherever the hell she lived. No one even remind me because I just want to put Evelyn out of my mind. But anyway, she went on and on and on about these damn apples at her orchard, that her Claremont apples were the best. And there came my Reality TV Orchard of Snark saying. There you go. There's your answer for why we have this crazy name for our group. But you guys are seriously the best in there. You're so funny. Even though I can't always respond, I'm reading what you're all posting in there and you're hilarious. So what is coming up this week? Oh, hold on a second. Don't fast forward through here because if you are watching Seeking Sister Wife, I've received several DMs on Twitter asking me if I'm watching it. And I am. Amanda and I on We Love to Hate TV on Patreon, we are recapping every single episode of this new season weekly. That's at tier two and above. I have all the links in the show notes for what's coming up. It's really a full circle moment this week on Total Request Podcast and We Love to Hate TV because on We Love to Hate TV, we are covering the latest three episodes of Teen Mom OG, and we are going to be recapping Seeking Sister Wife, like I just said. And on Total Request Podcast, one of our listeners requested that we watch a vintage, I guess you would call it, since it's season one and season two of Seeking Sister Wife. So we are going to recap the old episode from season two. I believe it's episode nine called It's Getting Steamy. You know which one I'm talking about. It's where Vanessa and Ashley Snowden do that yoni steaming thing with the crotches and they sit on these boxes. It's horrible. And there are, I already looked and previewed the episode. There are so many quintessential Seeking Sister Wife moments, even with the other couples. So that's at tier one. And then on tier two, I assigned Amanda to watch 90 Day Fiancé, Journey, Nicole, and Azin. So she's going to go watch their story come to be, their love story unfold. This is basically my most favorite week of podcasting ever. Teen Mom, Sister Wives, Seeking Sister Wives, 90 Day Fiancé. What more could a girl want? I used to despise styling my thin hair because no matter what styling products or tools I used, my hair would be flat and lifeless within an hour. Last month, I started from scratch with Prose. Prose creates custom shampoos and conditioners based on your hair type and personal needs. And I know this sounds cheesy, but I know you guys, you're probably like me and you secretly get a thrill out of taking online quizzes, right? Don't deny living for those personality tests back in the day in YM or Cosmo. Same here, which is why you are going to love seeing what Prose has available for you. When you go to prose.com/realityTV for 15% off your first order, thank you very much, you'll be asked to take this awesome online quiz. Forget which astrological sign is your soulmate because Prose will blend your perfect hair day, which obviously is way better. You'll be asked questions like your current hair woes. For me, oily scalp by day two, but dry ends because I'm trying to grow my hair out. Also, Prose wants to know, what are your hair goals? Do you have curly hair but straighten it every day? Or maybe you're like me and you're meant to have natural blonde hair, so you need a conditioner that prevents brassiness if you color your hair with that purple amazingness ingredient. I don't know what it's called because I leave it to the pros at Prose. They even think about your diet and lifestyle because Prose is not only sustainably sourced, cruelty-free, and can accommodate vegan and gluten-free diets, but they also take into account where you live. I was wondering why I had to provide my zip code when I took the quiz, and it was so cool to find out that every bottle is made fresh. So depending on your climate and seasonal changes, Prose can add fresh ingredients to protect your hair from environmental damage and elements. So cool, right? Now, the online quiz uses every conceivable factor that affects your hair, so there are 50 billion possible combinations. Yeah, this isn't fine, medium, thick hair formula. The most fun part for me was getting to pick the scent I wanted, or if you don't like scented products, go for the unscented options. I just refilled my bottles and I loved the scent I had, but I got a little curious, so I switched to the aquatic theme scent for the summer because it's kind of my vibe this year. And when you get your personal formulas delivered, you guys, you get bottles with your own name and zip code on it. It's so freaking cute. Now, currently, I am using a pre-shampoo mask about twice a week because I'm trying to grow my hair out, and then I use the shampoo and conditioner daily. That conditioner has that magical purple stuff in it, and I'm telling you, I have had consistently good hair days since the day I started. You can ask my co-host Amanda. She sees me almost every day when we record, and I wear my hair down almost every day because I can. The biggest change was being able to skip washing my hair every day because I don't have oily roots anymore. It's like having that awesome pregnancy hair I used to have back in the day. Ugh. Weren't those the days? Now listen, Prose is the healthy hair regimen with your name all over it. Take your free in-depth hair quiz and get 15% off your first order today. Go to prose.com/realityTV. That's prose.com/realityTV for your free in-depth hair quiz and 15% off. Check the show notes for an easy link. Let me know how much you love it. prose.com/realityTV. All right, 90 Day Fiancé, episode 14, Second Chances. I'm going to get Hazel and Tariq right out of the way because it was beautiful and boring. Hazel and Tariq tie the knot. She looks gorgeous. I think it was the perfect choice of dress. Her makeup looked lovely. If I had to be an asshole about something, I would say the veil in the back where she pulled it forward and then flipped it back, it reminded me of Janelle from Teen Mom. But that's just being really picky. All in all, it was lovely. So let's move on and talk about the couples that we love to hate, starting with Mike and Natalie. I don't know what to say other than Tamara from Down the Hill deserves a spa day, like a Real Housewives style quality spa retreat, which obviously is going to include a haircut and all the Natty Light or MGD her little gullet can take down, because this woman, this saint, drove 6 hours round trip with Natalie yelling about how exhausted she is. as the passenger in the vehicle with more leg room than Tamara certainly has, because Tamara is right up there on the windshield. Natalie's boohooing about how she's exhausted. I hope to God there was some sort of discussion that happened at that front desk at the hotel, because I really need to believe that there was a phone call that was made to Mike or headquarters or a manager. Because actually, Tamara's hair, obviously she's got that mullet and she's got the up-down bang thing in the front. But that could also be a vintage Karen haircut. That's the OG Karen haircut. Not even can I speak with your manager, but I demand to speak to your manager. Or even a I'm going to take my business up the hill. See what I did there? If you don't give me what I want. But anyway, I don't understand why the hotel couldn't take his payment even though he has an ID. People check in online, or they make reservations online and they check in all the time, making a phone call. Or why didn't Mike find another accommodation? It made no sense for them to drive back 3 hours. There had to be some location, a hostel, an Airbnb, a drive-in movie theater where the two of them could sleep in the car, someplace between Squim and Seattle where they could have stayed. I couldn't even watch 2 hours of this episode with the little bits of Natalie scattered here and there. So imagine being stuck 6 hours with her, watching her I fuck herself in her phone and doing the harumph every few minutes. You know, the humph. She kind of does a inward shoulder shrug and then the big doe eyes where she looks out the window like she's recreating a very sad music video. Hell no. I would not have driven that 3 hours back. And now that I think about it, why didn't Mike get Natalie an Uber from whatever hotel he could have gotten her ass into that night and then let Tamara drive home? Why would Tamara have to stay there overnight? Tamara should have been able to drive home down the hill and left Natalie there and then just got an Uber in the morning to the airport. This doesn't make any sense at all. And what an asshole Mike is for everything. But also, he didn't even want to spend another moment with Natalie himself, but he's sticking Tamara from down the hill with her for 6 hours. I'm never going to let this go. I will never forgive him for that. But here we are. Natalie's back, right? They spend the night in different rooms, and now they have to do their little selfie cam things. And I'm pretty sure what we were supposed to gather from how they were shooting or choosing to edit their film clips together was that Mike was sitting there in that little family room area as Natalie was recording her confessional video, which is so good. And he has nothing to say. He's just sitting there listening to her harumphing and being pissed off, which she should. She's crazy, but she's not wrong for being annoyed and upset with him. But then we have this insane conversation that goes on for a couple different conversations, even with that attorney. Mike ends up telling Natalie that he doesn't want her to go home, but he doesn't really want to marry her either. But she can't go home anyway because Ukraine has its borders closed. It's like Wally World of Europe. Sorry, folks. So now we have Natalie truly stuck, and he wants her to stay. It makes no sense, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say Tamara told him, don't call me. I'm not giving you advice and shove it up your ass. Because no matter what you decide, I'm not even going to drive up the hill again until Pigs or Uncle Bo can fly legally without having an armed marshal on board, allegedly. Okay, I just totally made that up, but something tells me he might be on a watch list. I hope not, because he has a very adorable, baby-like, gummy, no-teeth smile, but I think Uncle Bo has a past. All right, anyway. Now that I've ruffled some feathers, I'm going to ruffle some more because I am very compelled by the rules of what I consider responsible reality TV podcasting standards. And I think it should be known that I have come to find the solution, the root of Natalie's problems. I know it's just a gift. It comes to me. And this is what it is. Guys, She's a purple girl. Now, I know, take a real hard look at yourself if you just scoffed at me. What did she just say about purple? I love purple. It's the truth. Purple girls are a different breed. I love ya, but you are a little kooky if your favorite color is purple and it's your thing. Like, you're known for loving purple. Natalie apparently loves it because not only was she wearing a Baby Yoda jammy set, ew, but there were also some new throw pillows thrown on that couch that were in a bold royal purple. Really a bold choice for many reasons. One of them, and the most important being, why spend money on adding things to that house when it is in desperate need of a deep clean and a massive purge session? What I would give to get in there and throw shit away. And speaking of purging, Natalie purged all her residual anger in her body out on that attorney that they called. I mean, this woman was merely stating the fact that you're going to need to talk to each other and figure out your situation. And I don't know what to tell you, but I'm just resorting to the law, telling you there's 24 hours. But Natalie freaking bites her head off. She screamed at her, no, you don't know the situation. He called off the wedding 2 hours before. He didn't tell me 2 hours. Okay, first of all, Natalie, watch your tone. And second of all, it's not this woman's decision or advice to give on what you need to do. You have to decide what you want to do. And this is where I'm getting frustrated with Natalie as well, because sure, it's convenient to put it all on Mike because, yeah, he's indecisive and he's a total asshole for doing all of this, even at the last minute dragging her on. But Natalie does have a choice in this. She's not completely helpless. If she's so upset with Mike and wants to be able to see her mom whenever she wants to, and God forbid she got sick and she had to leave, I get it, then she's got to leave. Like, if Mike really wanted to marry you and make this work again or try again, he would make it try again, or he'd be telling you, yes, let's get married immediately. And I know it's easy for me to say, but Natalie's got to read the hoarded room. And I always like to say that your space, your living space around you, is symbolizing what's going on internally. I like a very type A, clean, sterile environment for the most part around me. You know, I like it homey and everything too. I don't like a lot of shit and little knickknacks and all that kind of stuff, because if it's cluttered around me, I feel cluttered inside and I feel anxious. Think about a hoarded house, kind of like Mike's. There's lots of storage things way up top that he never uses. Maybe that's indicative of some feelings or thoughts that he has that he likes to just tuck away. He likes to have lots of collections of things that he doesn't touch that gathers dust. Probably like his empathy that's deep, deep inside his body that he can't access at this moment because he's being a complete asshole to Natalie. I'm just saying she needs to look around and be willing to accept the fact that he just doesn't want to be with her and leave. Put everyone out of their misery. No way are they happy if they're still together. And if they act like they're happy on the tell-all, I don't believe that shit because they're both the worst. All right. Speaking of the worst, I got to talk about Brandon and Julia here. God, I hate this kid so much. I never thought I would hate Brandon more than I hate his parents combined, but I absolutely do. When he started saying, you know, she's irrational, or I've just come to realize that I just need to be patient with her. And then after she's done with all those hormones and feelings and thoughts that go through her crazy female head, then we can come back to a place where she'll believe things I'm saying and think I'm cute and charming, just like my mommy does. Ew. No, you're an asshole, and that's not cute. You know, even when Brandon thinks he's being a softy or genuine, he sucks. And you know what else sucks? Climbing into that disgusting bathtub that was literally brimming with mold and mildew. That disgusting caulk on the tub. Ugh, I'm gagging just thinking of it. And yes, I know that most of us have times when our caulk gets a little moldy and mildewy, but not that bad, and not when you know that it's going to be filmed on camera. I mean, not only would I not want my naked body near that spore colony, But imagine Brandon's entire family using that shower every single day. And then you're climbing in there with all of their skin cells and their hair. Betty's little curly. I can't even go there. I'm really feeling chills up my spine. So gross. And there's no way Brandon sanitized that tub before they filled it. Like, oh, he cleaned it, but there's just a little staining there. He probably enjoys that Betty's pubes are floating around in there. Nothing in the entire world is less sexy and more lava covered than that bathtub. I'd be using that hot tub outside naked too if that were my bathing option. That's probably why Ron and Betty have it. No clothes in there because that's where we take our baths. I bet they use that bathtub to harvest the roaches though. Who says they don't have a working farm? It's just a hobby farm. No. We get our own roaches climbing up and over all that mildew. So gross. Ugh. All right, let's fast forward to the wedding day. I actually feel chills going up and down my spine and a vomit gag reflex coming up again. Ew. God, and he's sitting in there and then she's climbing on top of him and they probably heard splashing in Ron and Betty's room. I can't with this family. They're the worst. So beautiful Julia, innocent, naive Julia, is getting ready in her bridal suite. And, I'm sorry. I was just fantasizing here. She's actually in the bathroom when Ron walks by and starts barking lame jokes at her. Like, could you give her a moment to blow dry her hair? This family has negative amount of boundaries. And just saying, you know that you need to let go of your little boy. You know, I have a baby boy complex. I just can't help it. No, that doesn't make it any more excusable to have Brandon zipping up his pants in the middle of the hallway in front of you. That was beyond crazy. I have a brother, I have a mother, and never in my brother's adult life has he been walking past my mom zipping up his pants. I mean, this family is into swinging, allegedly, but maybe there is a possibility that they could be nudists. That's the only other reason I can see this not being a huge talking point for everyone. That Brandon's walking around in his underwear, zipping up his pants in front of his grown mother. And I can see that being their thing, nudists. It tracks. Case in point, the naked hot tub therapy. Sure, Jan. Okay, enough of that. Wedding time. They all go to the church. Julia's hair, questionable choice, but I'm not a youngster. I would have liked those tendrils back a little bit more, maybe the veil a little bit more off her face. Not a halter top kind of fan, and I don't know what was going on with the shoes and the socks. I think even the camera people, or maybe it was Ron and Betty's footage we got, they try to show us as little of the gym shoes and Bobby socks as possible. Maybe it's a Russian thing. I don't know. I think she has looked better, but I can't lie. I actually teared up a little bit when they were exchanging their vows. I thought it was really sweet. And maybe it's just at this point, I need to go to a wedding and drink freely on someone else's dime. And the possibility of that happening someday, maybe, possibly someday soon, makes me just really, really happy. I wish these two a world of luck because they're going to need it because Betty and Ron are fucking monsters. And so is Brandon. Hashtag free Julia. Okay, Rebecca and Zied. I want to talk a little bit about her dress in comparison to Zied's hair. If there are any architects listening, scientifically speaking, which of those required more structural components, Rebecca's dress or Zied's hair? These two had a lot of stuff going on with how they looked. I mean, Zied pulled it together. I think he's got to get rid of those fake glasses because he just looks like he walked out of a Claire's or something. It's a horrible, horrible look. Would have preferred his shirt buttoned up. Well, would have preferred an entirely different look altogether. But the tons of hairspray was a hard, hard look, almost as hard as Rebecca's stomach, which we'll talk about in just a moment. It's just a tough look all around, right? There's just no softness to either of them. They look... All right, I'm just going to be a full-out asshole this episode. They both look like they're a shower at night kind of couple. All right, I already offended the purple ladies. I'm going to offend the shower at night people right now because I think Rebecca and Ziad both shower at night, but then they have like really sweaty sex and they just get up and go the next day. Doesn't matter to them that they still have last night's sex grit all over them. Maybe they even skip a shower that next night because they're just so tired from waking up, sex in the morning, work all day, you know, just go to bed. Always 2 days out from a shower for me. I'm sorry. I can't help what my eyeballs see. I just report the facts. Now, for the ceremony itself, it was fine. She wasn't carrying any flowers, like even a couple little daisies or something that was popping up. Her sons met her. They looked great, though. They got dressed up. They were wearing their least-ripped jeans, faded perfectly by wearing them several hundred times without washing them, and a silver chain. That really dresses it up. I mean, nothing says, I love my mom, I want the best for her, than a silver wallet chain, right? I mean, just to hear that jingle as you're walking down the aisle to no music or anything. Now, Rebecca's dress, I guess she did what she could. She ordered a dress that was too small and they strapped that thing on there. Whatever, it worked kind of. But I'm doing it now. I'm sitting back and I'm sucking my stomach in. Like I'm feeling asthma-ish for her. And when she stood up there, her hand on her stomach, that hand, I've done it several hundred times myself. You know, when you're wearing many a layer of girdle or spank, and it's like your body is so packed tightly together, it just morphs into human MDF, you know, just packed really hard there, and you put your hand on it, and you're like, God, is that my body? It is, but it's so hard and firm, not in like a I just lost weight way, but a, ooh, that's dense, that's thick. So I felt that moment. What I really thought was the moment that took my breath away was DaBella DeBall, little baby Ted Cruz, who was officiating their wedding. Now, I urge you to go back and watch that scene again and think of Ted Cruz's face and then look at that minister or officiant, because if they are not first cousins, I will be shocked. It's either first cousins or he is Ted Cruz's illegitimate son that we don't know about, because they are damn near identical. Okay, let's move on to Yara and Jovi. Are they our last couple? Oh, yeah, because we didn't see Andrew and Amira or Stephanie or Ryan or Harris. So let's round it out with the most boring couple this week. Can you believe it? Yara and Jovi boring? I never thought I would have put those three words in the same sentence, but here we are. My first note is, I'm bored. Bright, resilient, funny, bitchy Yara is now sitting at a blackjack table ordering water. What the fuck happened? What did Jovi do with our bitch? I'm so pissed off. So here we are, Yara being the third wheel on her own wedding weekend, sitting and hanging out with Jovi and his friends at the blackjack table. Oh, I hate this. I totally forgot that none of his friends know that she's pregnant, so she orders water and they give her a hard time about it. I think they obviously know that she's pregnant. There's no way Yara did not tell Jovi's friend's wife, the one who was in the front seat, that she's pregnant. No freaking way. Next, let's go to them wedding ring shopping. Jovi, of course, wants to cheap out on the wedding rings and just get the cheapest thing because he doesn't give a shit, because he doesn't give a shit about anything except himself. Shockingly, his mom talked some sense into him, and it was fine. I am very happy that she spoke up. I'm very happy that Yara got the ring she wanted, because she's definitely not going to get the life she wanted in the long run. Then we go to Jovi getting his tux. And if anyone watches Love After Lockup, and you were wondering like I was through most of the season before I bailed on it, because that's boring as hell. It's another show that tanked. Do you remember Michael? Megan's friend, CrossFit? I swear to God, that's her. She had to have moved to Vegas. I found her. She got long extensions and all these braids and stuff. There she is, selling and renting out tuxes in Vegas, yelling and laughing at everything that's merely a simple answer, which got really annoying. I was rooting for her because I was like, yeah, she seems like a badass chick. But just yelling someone's name and going after everything does not a personality make. All right. Next week is the finale, like I mentioned before, as well as at least the first hour of a tell-all, I would assume. We didn't get to see Stephanie and Ryan or Harris this week, and Andrew and Amira have been out for the count for quite a while, but Andrew's mom is going to come on, and her bitch flag is going to be flying high because she comes across like a monster in just these previews. So next week, we'll talk about that tell-all, and for now, let's jump over to Sister Wives. What a treat. What have we done to deserve watching Cody work out? And by workout, I mean doing only planks and crunches, because of course, Cody is that guy who goes on Pinterest. Yeah, I said that. That guy who goes on Pinterest and his entire body health fitness board is all just core exercises. He's big on the core. I can see it. Maybe he does some upper body, but it's all about Christine. You got to have a solid core because your core is the middle of your body. And like our family, if the core of it isn't strong enough, everything else is going to fall apart. And he invites Caleb over, maybe Joe Darger, all of his bros, so they can work on their core together. You know, they just get down and they plank together. I'll spot you, bro. Like bros do. Just wrestling. Probably a little parkouring on the pond. At Okay, now I'm just fantasy fictioning everything out. God, this is my favorite thing to do with the Brown family. I could just go on and on. Can't you see down in Coyote Pass at that pond, Cody, Caleb, I don't think Joe Darger is really as into Cody as Cody is into him. Super awkward. It reminds me of middle school all over again. But I imagine him with who he thinks are his bros, his guy friends, and he is just running sprints around Coyote Pass, getting real sweaty, like when he was running from plot to plot on the cul-de-sac. Remember Cody's sack? And he was going from one to the other, and he was doing like a Chariots of Fire moment. Dun 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. I want to go to Coyote Pass and just watch this all go down. Where the hell am I? Okay. Ooh, working my way back. Okay, second thing I wrote down, Robin's daughter has a sweet 16. Now, my sweet 16 was quite a bit different, not during a national pandemic or a worldwide pandemic, hello. Mine was just a normal 1996 sweet 16, minus the sweet and add in the part from the movie Pretty in Pink where the entire family and all your friends forget about your 16th birthday, because that is exactly what happened. I remember my mom remembered like an hour after she got off work, and she came home and she had a single Mylar balloon, and she walked into the family room where we had a ceiling fan. And you can just imagine what happened. And I mean, at the moment, I also had to laugh. And I look back and I laugh even harder. Just the, hey, happy birthday. Sorry. Up into the fan. It was amazing. If only TikTok was around back then, I could have been an influencer. Thank God I wasn't, because you wouldn't want to make the same fashion choices I did when I was 16. Anyway, this sweet 16, I thought was perfectly lovely. It doesn't have to be like a My Super Sweet 16 party, but the Browns are making it out like poor little Robin 3.0 is going to be so deprived because she didn't get a family mosh pit, or she didn't get a, what did they call it? Flash mob, dance mob, or whatever the hell, when all of them would break into dancing and they'd put on their go-go boots and the, oh, now I'm remembering Janelle. Janelle didn't want to wear any of that 70s garb. Anyhow, it was fine. And I don't think you have to be literally sweet and chaste and never have kissed anyone to have a sweet 16. I think we could just do away with sweet 16. How about just happy 16th birthday? How about happy smart 16? Yeah, that's exactly how that would go over. All right, let's move forward here. and catch up with COVID. This is the COVID Diaries, episode 7. Cody said that no matter which wife, if they got COVID, he would drop everything and go to be with that wife and nurse that wife back to health. Mary, however, disagrees, because of course she does. She's going to disagree no matter what. She said Cody would never come by. He probably wouldn't even know that she had COVID, because no one comes around my house. No one ever calls to check on me. Well, I do agree Cody wouldn't take care of her, because why would he? She emotionally cheated on him, or whatever you want to call it. She told him, I need space, go away, which we'll get to him later. So why would he come around? And also, if you're bitching and complaining that no one calls you and no one goes around by you, maybe you could also reciprocate and reach out to other people, invite other people over. Mary is the worst. She is such a perpetual victim. And maybe people don't want to come around by you because you are who you are, because you suck, because you're always pouting. I don't understand how 15 seasons into this, holy shit, 15 seasons into Sister Wives, she has not watched a single episode of herself and gotten any sort of internal dialogue going or reflection of how she could have done things differently or how she is perceived. And I fear that Mariah has really taken after Mary more than she has Cody. And I was rooting for her after she came out. I really enjoyed her being super honest about Mary, and she seemed very down to earth. She wasn't that bratty, annoying, I have to go to a $150,000 a year private school while everyone else had to go to UNLV. Remember that stage? I really liked her. But now Mariah and fucking Audrey, who's now the 27th, whatever the hell, Brown, I don't know. She's every fucking episode and I can't stand it. And I can't stand that denim shirt that she's got buttoned all the way up to the top. Anyway, these two are just like Mary. They're trying to say that they're worried about grandma, so they're going to move up to Parowan, kick Grandma Mary out of her B&B, and they're going to run it now because they're worried about her. Sure. It's not at all because Mariah and Audrey want to play house by themselves in that creepy old Victorian dollhouse and pretend like they're these altruistic saviors, that they're going to rescue Mima and they're going to save her from COVID and they're going to help Mary. Bullshit. I would not be surprised if Audrey knew that Mary was buying that B&B with a mortgage that's only for a single residence, not for running a B&B. Again, public documents, you guys can look this up on your own. I'm just saying, if like a mortgage lender knew that she was doing it, maybe it might be a problem. I don't know, allegedly. But anyway, back to what I was saying, maybe Audrey saw that and she saw this as her little ticket to Parowan Wonderland. And this has been her plan all along, to lock Mariah down and get her fingers on that Parowan Paradise purse strings. I mean, Mary wonders why no one wants to go to her house. I mean, Mary alone is dreadful, but then you add Mariah and Audrey, aka Mariah's leech, and Mother Mary in there on an armless couch. I mean, that is really just attending a generational MLM downline. Chilling. Ooh, leggings for all ages and sizes. You know what else is scary? That Mariah thinks people love Audrey more. Did you listen to that fun little conversation about Audrey talking with the nephew? BFF, best friends forever. No, Mariah, who are these people that love Audrey more? Who? The locals of Parowan who are just used to Mary and her fat, lower, cowardly lion lip pouting around town? More on that in a minute, but let's check in with some of the younger Browns. Now, I don't take pleasure in talking about how truly annoying some of the Brown offspring are. I don't feel good about recapping how kids are too old to pout or use pacifiers or are excused for their behavior and babied if they don't get what they want. Nor do I like asking why kids named after adverbs or areolas have mullets when there's nothing but time that could be used to take a little trim to the back. So back to Mary. She is such a bitch. When Mariah and Audrey left, She did not tell Cody that they were going. She waited 2 weeks, or it would be a week after they left, to tell Cody that his daughter left the state because she said Cody didn't call him. She didn't call to check on her or Mariah or fucking Audrey. Okay, screw off with Audrey. She can scratch. He didn't call her, so she didn't call him. Okay, that makes Mary look worse. She first said, well, I didn't want people to think that Cody was being a jerk, and I don't want people to think that I'm being a jerk. No, no one thinks Cody was being a jerk. People are saying Cody doesn't like you and love you anymore because no one does, but that was absolutely manipulative. And I kind of love that Cody didn't have a huge reaction about it because it let Mary be highlighted as the manipulative, everyone's using that word gaslighter these days, but it's true. She's a manipulative gaslighter, and she will set up situations to make Cody look like a jerk or to test him. And really, it just makes her look like exactly the person that she is. To me, it backfired because Cody's like, okay, I didn't know they were going to be leaving, but he's not going to give her the satisfaction. He has wised up, and Cody is way more, what's the word I'm looking for? He's way more versed and prepared for how Mary is going to act and the things that she's going to do than any of us realize. And I kind of fucking love it. He's killing it this season for me. I'm really enjoying watching him, probably with a lot of therapy from Nancy or hopefully someone else. But something tells me Nancy has probably told him that Mary maybe, in my opinion, has a certain few personality disorders, and he just has to do what's best for him at this point. Because no matter what he does, he's never going to please Mary. They're just not meant to be together. End of story. And as far as her boohooing about him saying that he was going to back up or that he moved away from her, and then she said, back up, get away, Cody. And he's like, careful what you wish for. Remember what happened last time? Well, you know what? Yeah, it was a dick comment for him to make, but you set him up for it. She did tell him to give her space, but then when he takes it, she's going to say, well, I didn't mean for that long. I'm just beating a dead horse at this point, right? But anyway, here she is crying like she always does, sniffling and boohooing about X, Y, and Z. If you want to hear more Sister Wives recaps, I really suggest you guys check out Surviving Sister Wives. I know I was talking about Kara earlier from Everyone's Business But Mine. She went on their podcast. They're great. They're so funny. Let's spread the love of Sister Wives because the more seasons we can get out of them, the better, because I love it. Which leads me to this week's Would You Rather. And I have thought long and hard about this. My own question, and I don't even know how I would answer. Would you rather have Sister Wives renewed for the next 15 years or have 1 hour with all of the wives and Cody's diaries? There's pros and cons to both, because think about it, if it were renewed for 15 years, that would mean little Areola and little King Solomon are going to be 18 and older, and we could see everything, how they grow up, who sticks around, who takes off, or 1 hour with all the wives' diaries and Cody's. I mean, the things we could read and learn about, but only having an hour, that would just scratch the surface. Or 15 years of joy and cringing and probably seeing lots of Maddie and Caleb. Then we could see some Tony and some tres leches cakes, maybe at their kids' weddings. It's a toss-up. Talk about it in the Facebook group, Reality TV Orchard of Snark. Remember, on Patreon this week, Teen Mom OG, the last 3 episodes from the last 3 weeks, Seeking Sister Wife, and we also have Untold Request Podcast, Seeking Sister Wife, Season 2, Episode 9, and 90 Day Journey, Nicole and Azin. Well, I know for sure I love you guys more than 60%. So take care of yourselves, wear a damn mask, and as always, stay salty.